Grace and peace and love from my home to yours. Welcome to Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so glad that you have and that we have this virtual space in which to be connected to God and to one another. Speaking of being connected, we have several ways that you can participate in the life of our church, including ongoing small groups, Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. with Art Brunch, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Men's Coffee Fellowship, Thursday afternoons at 1:30 p.m., our Oasis Women's Study Group. We have recently added two new small groups. They're short term, just 6 weeks. One is called Tuesdays at 2 with Andrew. This is sermon talk back time, and that begins this Tuesday, October 6th at 2 p.m. You can check out the Zoom links in the Pine Street Post. Also, on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., Debbie Setlock is leading a group called Exploring Sacred Movement. So check those groups out. Find a time on your calendar if that works for you to participate in any and all of these opportunities. Also, today begins World Mission Offering Month. Throughout the month of October, you're going to be hearing about World Mission Offering. Every September and October, congregations come together to, including ours, to think about and become more aware of what is happening globally. And we're grateful for International Ministries with ABC USA that helps us focus on advocacy and action in terms of global mission. So check out the Pine Street Post. There are videos there. We'll also, again, be talking a little bit about that throughout the month of October. Speaking of giving, the easiest way to do it, if you wish to offer a tithe or offering or just make a financial gift to Pine Street Church, you can go to pinestreetchurch.net/giving, and you can give online that way. Or as always, you are welcome to send your financial gifts to the church at 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado. I always encourage you to check out the Pine Street Post. That's our main kind of communication gateway and channel for the church and all that's going on. I want to thank so many of you who have participated in the speaker series on race with Josh Carell, a CU professor, on September 20, and then last Sunday with Stephen Hawkins, who's a research director for a group called More in Common. If you happen to miss those, you can check those out. This is our education and action initiative that we have joined together with St. John's to do this fall, and we are discerning prayerfully and carefully how we might take up a cause of action that would really be part of our own local advocacy work as a congregation. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so grateful, and I hope as we step into this time of worship, it is truly a time of inspiration and energy for you, reflection, comfort, and challenge. And we continue our series today on living the undivided life, full-bodied faith in a time of COVID. So that is our message today. And also, we are celebrating communion. So if you don't yet have elements in your home and you would like to celebrate communion together a little later on in the service, I invite you to get a loaf of bread or crackers, wine or juice, whatever you have at home, and we will celebrate Holy Communion in just a little while. Much peace and love. Let us worship together.
This is my
joy may be full.
Today we continue this message series, Living an Undivided Life, Full-Bodied Faith in the Time of COVID-19. If you would like a fuller premise or context, if you didn't see last Sunday's message, I'd point you back to that message that sort of spells out some of the definitions of what that phrase undivided life means. You know, how we get cut off or disconnected from the deepest parts of who we are. Sometimes that's like trying to live someone else's life, not being who we really are and being safe inside of our own skin, at home, inside of who we are. And so we touched on each of these aspects that show up in what really amounts to the heart and soul of Torah, what amounts to the heart and soul of the Gospels. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this began with our spiritual wellness at home Zoom gathering a few weeks ago with Dr. Jonathan Ellerby. And again, I just want to pick up on some of those themes and spiritual practices to build off of that time with Jonathan. And Jonathan, if you're watching, thank you for leading us in that a few weeks ago. So, you know, these days, living through a global pandemic, it's easy to have feelings that put us in a funk. Or we can feel the heaviness of such a time in our world right now, and it's easy to, you know, feel exhausted physically or mentally, feel depleted of creative energy, confused almost about some days when we just can't seem to get it out of neutral. It's almost as if the only thing we can say is, God, my soul is tired, right? And it might feel hard to even name your feelings or to connect the dots on why you feel the way you do. We're living in these atmospherics that really takes a toll on us in our national consciousness and certainly in our personal lives. And so when we hear these texts again today, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, like what does this even mean? I sure have been wondering about soul a lot this week. What does it mean to love God with all your soul? Living from that deepest part of who we are, letting the inner light shine, letting the divine in me live and breathe, to recognize the divine in you. Some of this connects, I think, with what our passions are. When you're disconnected from yourself or from your soul, a divided life, it can be hard to remember what made your heart pump and your blood gush before. Like, what woke you up in terms of what made you come alive, right? We talk a lot about what is it in our lives that help us be more fully alive. And this idea of living from soul or living from the heart of who we are is so important. And I find myself wondering what that means for my life. And so some of this is a fellow beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. So here we are today. And I love this idea of kind of coming up with a sort of spiritual plan, if you will, that might help us cultivate and nourish these multi-dimensional aspects of who we are, heart, soul, mind, or mental and strength, or physical bodies. Like showing up in the world, showing up in our relationships, showing up for our own lives, where we find integrating points, integration, living that undivided life where our insides and our outsides match up. I love how Parker Palmer puts it, and he is actually sort of famous for coining this phrase, undivided life. And he talks about matching soul and role, matching soul and role, and not just being actors or players in our lives, but really living from a place where soul and role are connected. And so, yes, we're focusing today again on that money quote of all spiritual wisdom in our Judeo-Christian tradition, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I was thinking this week of a story that comes from Donald Miller's book from many years ago called Blue Light Jazz. And he starts off that book by saying, I never liked jazz music because jazz music doesn't resolve. But I was outside the theater in Portland, Oregon one night when I saw a man playing the saxophone. I stood there for 15 minutes and he never opened his eyes. After that, I liked jazz music. Sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. It's as if they are showing you the way. I love the way Donald Miller puts that in that book, Blue Like Jazz. He found himself liking jazz because he came to understand a kind of language of the soul. And whatever the soul is trying to say or screaming out at us for us to say or do, it's trying to say something, at least at some level, about freedom. The freedom to be fully who we are, to be fully, to be full enough of ourselves to be able to give ourselves away for the sake of love. And when he watched that stranger on the street play a saxophone, it was as if his whole heart and soul and mind became, to quote the Charles Wesley hymn, lost in wonder, love, and praise. This is part of the wisdom of that 13th century poet and Sufi mystic Rumi. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. And there it is, to knock down barriers that keep us from love, that keep us restricted, that keep us in fear, that keep us from giving ourselves away fully in love. I love that idea, to think about those barriers that keep us from knowing ourselves fully and loving ourselves wholly. Professor of the soul Thomas More puts it a different way. He says, it isn't just enough to be alive and developing physically. You also need to be alive to your spirit and soul. And that means you have to be aware of what's going on inside you and what's going on in your world. And so as I grope and try to find ways to talk about language of the soul from a real heart place, to me, that's part of what it means to live with soul, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And so, again, in today's gospel, Jesus quickly responds with words taken from the book of Deuteronomy, the Shema, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And from somewhere in the beautiful mind of Jesus, he sensed even at some level, this answer was not enough. Mind you, he answered the lawyer's question, and the question was, which commandment is the greatest? Meaning which one, not which ones? And Jesus felt the need to go on, and another is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So he added that almost without stopping. And on these two commandments, said Jesus, hang all the law and the prophets. And by the way, the second commandment, this additional law, comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. The issue here is not that Jesus misquoted or misused scripture. The issue with which we wrestle is the question of why he gave the lawyer two commandments when he asked for only one. And perhaps Jesus offered two commandments because he felt that simply loving God with all your heart and soul and mind is simply not enough to be the essence of personal faith. And that seems and maybe sounds so strange coming from Jesus, because surely Jesus did not think that loving God with all our being was not enough, right? Why, if loving God with all of who we are is not enough, what else are we to do? Here is our answer, I think. In this brief story, we gain an insight into the core or the foundation, the heart and soul of what God expects from us and what we are enacting, what we seek to enact and embody, that soul and role, right, in our lives. Well, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. The lawyer calls Jesus out by asking, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And as with any smart attorney, you know he's got an answer before he even asks the question. But as with any smart rabbi, Jesus answers his question with a question: "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And the lawyer answers, "You shall love the Lord your God." And Jesus says, "Do this and you will live." How many of us want to live? And really live, not just the good life, but life that really is life, to live from the depth and breadth of our souls. And so it's interesting, this kind of call and response between the lawyer and Jesus was Luke's variation on Matthew's theme of which commandment in the law of Moses is the greatest. Now, a little bit of a nerdy historical moment here. Jewish scholars had counted 613 commandments, and the lawyer wants to know which of the 613 commandments is the greatest. This means that there would have been 612 possible wrong answers. "You shall be holy," says Leviticus 19:2, "because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And so for the ancient Jews, this exhortation to holiness was codified in complex purity laws. The famous Ten Commandments were only the beginning. And by one count, there are 613 commandments in the five books of Moses called the Torah, and the purity laws of Leviticus, chapters 11 through 26, encompass nearly every aspect of being human, from birth to death to sex to gender to health to economics, agriculture, jurisprudence, social relations, hygiene, marriage, behavior, and even ethnicity. Gentiles were automatically considered impure, for instance. So Jesus quotes the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:5, this key confession in Jewish worship. And Jesus says that every one of those 613 commandments in the law of Moses is really about love, not purity laws or rules. Jesus knew that there weren't 613 rules to keep. And good thing, he was always breaking rules, right? Touching lepers, talking to women, claiming to speak for God. So rather than asking, "How can you not break the law?" Jesus asked, "How can you keep the law?" And his answer gives us the rhythm and syncopation and feeling of the gospel rooted in God's melody of redemption, that love the Lord your God with your entire being and love your neighbor as yourself. There's this wise and witty author that many of you have read, I'm sure. Her name's Anne Lamott. And she gives us something to feel and believe in about soul when she writes this. She says, "You know, most of my friends are secular and most of them think I'm a little bit crazy. But almost all of them, almost everyone I know, does have a spiritual part of their being. And whether it comes to find an organization or a way of living out that spirituality or not, everyone has a human spirit. Everyone has a soul, I believe. Everyone has a part inside of them that is not available for rational thinking or for understanding much of anything," she says. "But for instance, can't this part of the spirit or the soul or whatever is touched so often by music or by the tragedies where people's hearts are broken?" And she says, "That's a good thing because the culture is so adamant that you keep your act together. And people grow up and find that what they're left with is an act. And then something happens, like a tragedy, or just a piercingly beautiful piece of music, and something inside them comes fully to life." And we're talking about feeding and nurturing the human spirit and soul, bringing that forth into a world that is so thirsty and starving to death and so broken and battered. I go back to the Sufi mystic Rumi, who says, "Through love, all pain will turn to medicine. Through love, all pain will turn to medicine." And so what we're after again is a plan to nourish our souls, to feed our spirits, and how important it is in this time of COVID-19 to create those spaces where we are, to feel something that moves us in ways and places that words don't always touch or reach. So that our faith, the life of our souls, is not just a mental trip, It's not just a head trip. It's something that we feel deeply in our bones and in our souls and hearts, the core of who we are. It could be, you know, a sacred space in your home where you go for online worship like this, or morning prayers, or to light a candle and sit in silence. It could be a meditative walk. It could be journaling. It could be taking more conscious control of your thoughts. Focus on the good. Focus on the good. When your mind is running off in some crazy direction and you're making up stories that are true to you, but not necessarily what is rooted in reality. Or even like what happened this past week. I know that many of us parents, one of the biggest challenges we have is managing screen time, right? Especially when they're going to school with online learning. And I've been a fairly bad dad about managing those things when it comes to technology. But this past week, I put my kiddos on a tech diet, fasting from technology and devices. And what happened? They found a labyrinth at a school in our neighborhood and have been walking that labyrinth almost every day. If you don't know what a labyrinth is, it's basically a meandering path. And there's one path in and one path out. It's been this spiritual tool of transformation for thousands of years. Right in our neighborhood, these kids are finding that. How beautiful. Or as my friend and our music director, Ryan Connell, wrote this week about his son, Charlie, trying to catch the rays through the window while Ryan is recording his musical meditation and going, "Wow, look at that. Look at this little boy catching rays of sun through the window. There's soul. There's hope. And that's what matters." So what do we need to connect with our souls? To love from that place inside of us that is raw and real and honest and open and fearless? And so what do we need to connect with our souls? To love fully from that place inside of us that is raw and real and honest and open, fearless. You know, before he saw the man playing the saxophone, Donald Miller didn't like jazz music because to him, jazz never seems to be going anywhere. And it doesn't have resolution in a way that gives you a sense that the song ever really comes to a close. And you know, isn't that sort of the point after all? That the open-ended melody of God's redemption that we're riffing off of, and the meandering path that we're all on, winding through, that leads us to the center of our souls, keeps calling out to us. Our souls that are screaming for meaning and freedom and justice and truth to be undivided, to be whole. And that's the part that you alone can play. Nobody else in the world can be you. Nobody is youer than you. Thank you, Dr. Seuss, from last week. And when we bring all of that uniqueness and beauty and our full aliveness together, what happens is this beautiful mosaic of God's community. Well, I think it's partly now to see where the music takes us, right? To start playing and planning and experimenting, to see where this goes. During a time when it's so difficult for us to stay connected to who we are, when there's such noise in life, politically and socially and all that's going on, let this be a time when we connect and reconnect to our own souls and see where God's music takes us. And if you close your eyes, the people around you will know you're starting to feel it, because sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. It is as if they are showing you the way. Let us live from our whole souls, and let's let God show us the way. And let's grant each other grace to show one another the way. To live from soul. Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition today. As you go out and go forth into your day, it is so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the power and the justice and the beauty and the joy of God are at loose in the world through your lives. Go and live like it is true. Amen.
There is a Peter, if you can pray.